Welcome back to another episode of Fringe Beyond Limits. Frank.
I'm Lynette.
And I'm Bree.
Well, we just got fancy with an intro. That's kind of exciting. Took us about 2 hours to figure that crap out, but we did. So welcome back, everyone. Hope you guys enjoyed our first episode, which wasn't supposed to be our first episode. So a little peek behind our veil is that as I was playing around with it, it was really easy to upload to Spotify. You literally click a button and it was your live. And it took us forever to figure out how to get to Apple Podcasts. And then Bree,
I was able to get it up and running. It's now published.
And we are now available on pretty much every single platform for podcasts. So if you guys would like, share, follow, don't smash the like button. I hate when people say, smash the like button, you know, haunt it. Haunt the like button.
Oh, okay. I like that.
You like that?
Yeah, right. There you go.
I just thought of that right off the bat.
Okay.
All right. So how were your guys' week?
It's been an all right week.
Yeah.
But. Well, nothing too crazy.
It just started, so.
Well, yeah, we are recording on Monday night, but we haven't been back since 10 days. So our very own Brianna shared her 33rd.
34th.
Oh, I'm making her younger. 34th birthday. So happy birthday to Brianna.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, 34. Reasons why I hate you. You're way younger than me. So, little amendment to last week's episode when we were talking about our experiences, and I was talking about the experience in my house. There was one story I left out that let my wife was really upset that I didn't. She's like, "That's my favorite story," and I'm like, "All right." So, my very first experience, I was in the living room. And my bedroom is right off the living room, and the closet was right as soon as you walk in. So I went to go grab something out of the, and I was 4 or 5. So I went to go grab something out of the closet. So I didn't turn the bedroom light on. So I grabbed it and I looked up. And when I looked up, hovering was a face that I could still see. It was like, if you picture a mountain man. With the old shaggy beard, long hair, your stereotypical West Virginia mountain man or Idaho, Colorado, you know, wherever the mountains are, those men, right? and I screamed, and that was my first ever. So I wanted to throw that in there since my wife yelled at me.
Had you seen it ever since?
No, I have not.
I never heard that story.
Yeah, no, because I always forget to tell it for some reason. I don't know, maybe because I'm lying? I don't know. No, I'm not lying. That is a true story. So, yeah. So, I just wanted to go ahead and make my wife happy. Happy wife, happy life. And, yeah, hopefully she's happy. If she listens
if
again.
If she even listens, right?
Yeah, right. So, what about you guys? Do you guys have any amendments? Anything you guys wanted to add to last week's FUBAR of an episode?
Jeez. Oh, that my sister was not living with me when I had the creepy crawly thing at the house. She was not there yet. But she was there when the cabinet started opening and the TV started flickering on and off. So I made an oops there. But
no, that's okay.
So there's my amendment.
Yeah, that's great. So you had that experience by yourself with your little pug.
Yeah.
And you still went to bed that night.
Yeah. And shortly thereafter, I think there were some other events that occurred in my room as well, that I kind of left off, but I thought maybe a later episode.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Here we are, a later episode.
No, don't sell the farm. That's fantastic. Bree, anything you wanted to add from last week?
No, I mean, I did not lie about anything, nor did I omit anything, so.
Because you just have had no experiences.
Pretty much.
All right. Well, sorry. And welcome to no paranormal events for you. All right, so this week we are just going to cover some ghosts and types of ghosts, maybe a couple types of hauntings. We're not going to get too into the weeds with them, just because further episodes we want to go in depth on each type. But we kind of want to just go over and do a overall view of different types of ghosts and haunting and spirits that we have either come across or looking forward to coming across or not looking forward to come across. So so always, you know, I think the most popular one, guys, is a residual haunting. Mm-hmm. Don't you think mm-hmm. that's really like the most one people come across? What are your thoughts on residual hauntings?
I think it's 50-50 between residual and intelligent hauntings. Like, from what I hear, some people see stuff that like is constant repeat of something, or someone sees something or hears something that they're speaking back, or they're responding to what they're asking or what they're telling them to do. So I think it's more 50-50.
So you don't think that one is more than the other? You think mm-hmm. it's literally going to be a flip of a coin of what kind of haunting you come across?
Correct.
So the two types of hauntings were residual and intelligent. Mm-hmm. What is a residual haunting? Can you explain that for us?
No.
Okay. Thanks for chiming in there.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Lynette, what are your thoughts on residual hauntings?
You know, I hadn't had that question put to me in such a way, I suppose, but I feel that we may encounter residual hauntings in a place where there's just a lot of activity. It could be a public place, like a train station or something like that, where there's just a lot of folks moving in and out, or in a place where there might have been something maybe horrendous happening where it just leaves some sort of imprint in the facility or the location. But I feel that there's more residual out there than perhaps intelligent, and mainly that's just personal experience. I think it's that you kind of just run into repetitive type of knocks or clicks or, you know, that sort of thing.
So what do you think causes them? You know, because a lot of people say, oh, it's, you know, it's leftover energy or an imprint on the atmosphere, or, you know, whatever, you know, your belief system or is. Is it one of those? Is it something else? Is it, what do you guys think it is?
I mean, I feel like it's more day-to-day activity, something that just becomes so routine. It becomes a groove. It becomes a rut. I don't know, that sort of thing where you every day you come home and you do X or some sort of action that happens that kind of imprints. That's kind of where my head's at.
So do you think there could be a residual haunting? Like, so let's say like tomorrow, right? Tomorrow I'm gone. Peace out. I checked out and you guys are ecstatic. Okay. Do you think that there's a possibility that one of my residual hauntings with me just pooping,
yep,
just as much time as I spend on the toilet, do you think that's going to be like a possible residual haunting of mine?
I can see that, but I'm going to make sure I don't go in that haunted bathroom ever.
But, I mean, it won't smell this time though.
What if you
can hear you going, like your whatever noises you make, moaning, whatever you make while you poop. I don't want to hear that either. If I like do an EVP and then I hear you, I don't.
All right. So I'm going to tell you right now that when I poop, there is no moaning. I don't know what you think I'm doing in there, but I'm literally just pooping.
Okay.
Wow. I don't think I've ever been this butthurt before.
No pun intended.
No pun intended on that one.
No, I guess the reason why I think it could be day-to-day activities, and I'm kind of drawing a blank, but I remember watching a show at one point where somebody brought in a psychic to a haunted location, and they were observed, like, I think a murder had occurred or something in this home, and there were noises that were reoccurring around the same time or something every night, and the psychic was saying, this is a residual haunting, but the person leaving their mark is not dead. The person is alive and in prison right now, but their energy had imprinted on the house where they committed their murder.
Well, that's interesting. I never heard that before.
It is interesting.
So I am speechless. I don't have anything to say about that, but...
I don't think it's necessarily a common occurrence, but I found that story quite interesting.
So, do you think it has to be, like, a high emotional or traumatic type of thing? So, like, for example, you take a woman who's been, you know, battered, so domestic violence, and her making dinner because she needs to make it because her husband demands it, and he might beat her if it's not done by the time he gets home, you know, just some of that shitty piece of shit people out there. But would that then fall under your everyday thing? Is that there's just so much trauma and fear and anxiousness around that one daily task? Or could it be just any normal mundane situation that someone does every day?
I would think it's more, like you said, it comes back to a traumatic experience. And I think whatever traumatic experience happened during whatever they were doing. So like you said, washing the dishes, and that's when they were murdered. Or for example, like going into like one of those mines and the miners are doing work and everything collapses. That's a traumatic. And then that's where the spirit or ghost is trapped, and they're doing the same thing over and over again. So I think it depends on what they're doing when the experience happens.
Okay. I mean, I could buy that. You know, I'm not going to say you're wrong, because to tell you the truth, no one fucking knows anything. This is the beauty behind, you know, what we talk about and what we do, is that, you know, what we investigate, we just have no idea what it is. And I always say anyone who knows definitely that, whether they know something is going on and they know exactly what it is, or if they think nothing is going on and they know exactly that nothing, they're both full of shit. They both don't know what the hell they're talking about, because no one knows, you know.
There's a shot in the dark.
Yeah, right. You know, so, but there is one thing that I found while kind of researching a little bit, was the stone tape theory. And it's kind of like, you know, just saying that these residual hauntings are considered mental impressions during traumatic or emotional events that are projected in the form of energy. So basically, they are projected onto like rocks or other items and replayed under certain conditions, which is interesting, because we've gone to several haunted places, and you know, it'd be the night before, we talked to people who investigated the night before, and like, oh my God, it was so active. And then we show up that next night and it's quiet.
Crickets, yeah.
You know, so I just wonder, what do you think certain conditions, what do you think that could be? You know, is it our frequency? Can we tune in and tune out these things just by our own mental thoughts? And that's maybe why some people never have a paranormal event. What do you guys think?
I think it is kind of has some mental in it. Like, you get, like, for example, me going, mm-hmm. you guys, for example, go to Beatty first, had a lot of experience. I go to Beatty with you guys the second time. Nothing happened that night when we were there. It could be because we had a lot more people around, or it could be because some of us were so like, I'm determined to see something, or your mind shuts off to anything that would happen. So you're like, it's like when you get older, like your mind tends to shut off. When you're a kid, your mind's more open. So you see things easier. You hear things easier. I think that could also play a role into it. So it's, I think it's a mental game, but also like could be other factors. Like I mentioned, it could be because there's too many people, or it could be something environmental too. It could be something with the weather that was going on. Yeah.
So for you guys that can't tell the two apart, that was Brianna talking. Lynette, do you want to weigh in?
Well, I don't know. I have maybe a couple different thoughts, I suppose, as to, you know, agree with the idea of frequency or the ability to tap in. And are you guys on the same wavelength to hear, experience, feel, see, whatever? But then, you know, I'm also kind of the thought is that if the environment is cohesive, like maybe a little bit more beyond frequency, but maybe if the environment is cohesive or mirrors a time when a residual haunt would happen. So I don't know. I'm trying to think of like when we went to Villisca,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't know. I mean, nobody knows when the family was murdered, but they know it happened at some time in the middle of the night. And there was how many of us? Four or five?
There was you, me, Lisa, Steve, and his and brother, Rudy. Yeah. Rudy.
So we were there and everything's pretty casual. But then all of a sudden, you and I just started picking up on something, which I don't know if it was it to me. I thought it was residual. I figured there's just maybe it was a certain time of night when these murders occurred. And maybe I was picking up on sort of that energy of the angriness of the person who was running around, you know, killing all this family, right? But I mean, it just, you know, it was just
it's not
odd.
Funny. I mean, it's not funny.
It's not funny, but your face was funny.
Oh, thanks.
And the red hair, you know, it adds to
I do,
it.
I do have red hair now,
Frank's got red hair today. It's kind of pinkish red. But yeah, it's just the timing seemed odd in the sense that it started and then it ended. And it what felt like a very like there was no fade in, fade out. It was there and then it was gone within those 10-minute window or whatever that was.
Right. I get that. Well, here's a fun question that I just thought of for you too. If you had to have a residual haunting in your home and you can choose who it would be and what they would be doing, who and what go?
For the who, I'll actually say my dog, Cyclone.
Okay, so these are people that are already dead.
So, you didn't say that.
Already dead.
Okay, so yeah, okay, I mean, dead, okay. I mean, I really thought it kind of just spoke for itself, but I guess, you know, when you don't have the high intelligence that I do, so that's fine. But yeah, people who have already passed away, like it could be anybody, you know.
I'm going to say my grandpa Tony.
All right,
would definitely one of my thing he would do just. Whenever like coming home or whenever I see him, he's always like just sitting on the couch and watching TV or eating or something, but like being like seeing that like impression on the couch and like either faintly hearing like some like TV or saying hi and how are you, like just it was always a constant, like he's always been greeted by him. Oh, he's always in that same spot, very happy. Yeah, that's only I can think of.
So couch potato grandpa Tony is what I'm hearing. Okay. That's fine. No. That's great. I'm not making fun. I'm just trying to get a visual on what you were saying. So yeah, all right. Lynette?
I can't think of anything right now.
You're gonna have to. I mean,
Elvis Presley reading out the lotto numbers.
Okay. Are they your lotto numbers?
Yes. Every week.
So you want to win the lotto every week? I don't think that's mathematically possible ever.
But if I have residual haunting, maybe I could share the wealth with my friends and family.
I doubt this. That's all.
I couldn't think of anything, man.
You had like 22 seconds.
I know, but I wanted to listen to what Brie had to say, not
no
think
one
what
listens
my
to what
my
Brie
head.
Has to say.
And I also just thought of the person. I couldn't think of anything they were doing. I just, all my memory with him is always sitting down. So,
what about you, Frank?
I don't know. I just have no idea. Let me think. That's what you sound like.
Well, you can't like hit me with like weird questions.
Yes, I can. Things pop up in my head all the time. You guys know this.
I feel I need like a thought bubble above your head so that you can get a jump start on the craziness.
Yeah, so I would probably go with.
Can I guess?
Yeah, you can guess.
Your mom throwing shoes at you?
No, not even like once would I want that. Ever. I don't want anyone.
That's the Italian definition, though.
Yeah, no, that is an Italian mother thing. Like
deadly with a slipper.
Yeah, she had zero athletic ability. I don't think she could walk and chew gum at the same time. I love her, you know, and yeah, no. So, but somehow, like that slipper would act like a boomerang. It would skid right off my head and get back. It was amazing. I wish back then we had video.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I would probably have to go with my cousin Frank playing softball. So growing up, I had a cousin Frank. He was, 19 years older than me. And he passed away when he was 29. So I was 10 years old. Freak accident. And him and I did everything together. He took me to my first Cubs game, took me to WWF matches. And he was in a 16-inch softball team. He was also the pitcher, and I was his bat boy. So he also had the same sense of humor as me. He used to go to Florida on spring break all the time. And him and I were very similar mentally and not physically. He was a much better, handsome looking person. But yeah, that would be mine. It would be me kind of like, you know, imagining myself in the dugout and watching him pitch. That would be
but
my.
How would that be residual? Sorry, it was a great story, but I don't see the residual.
Well, connection. The residualness would be I would just see him pitching.
Oh, so.
You know, playing softball. Like, I don't understand how well, much of a stretch
of,
that is.
When I think of residual,
besides
I'm
Elvis.
More.
Elvis reading off lottery numbers every
when
single week.
When I think
week.
Of residual, I think of like noises and impressions, not necessarily apparitions.
Well, I mean, yeah, apparitions
they
are.
They can be apparitions too. Yeah.
I guess that. Fair, but it wasn't the first thing that came
yeah.
to my mind.
Well, you couldn't even give me an example.
Because I'm sitting here thinking of how I can interrogate you back.
Yeah, well, you know what? It doesn't work, all right?
No.
I'll lawyer up.
I only just got started.
Lawyer. I want to speak to my lawyer.
I'm Italian and I'm wearing slippers too, so watch out.
Who's your lawyer?
My wife.
22222.
Good luck with that. She'll probably be against you.
Probably not. No, because she can't go to sleep without me.
She's got the dogs.
Yeah, but you ask her. She said when we went on the dinner, she said she sleeps better with me in bed. So, all right. So let's go on to the next. That was a great segue into intelligent hauntings. Mm-hmm. So intelligent hauntings is what? Just basically a spirit that is actually there, that it's answering us, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, is that it? Do you think there's different types of intelligent hauntings? Or is it pretty much straightforward?
It could be different types. It could be like the basic spirit that when you're doing like, again, EVPs, asking them a question and they respond back or tell them, hey, can you knock 3 times? They knock or just basically responding to whatever you're asking them to do. Or you get the ones that could be poltergeists, things that are randomly getting thrown at you. They see that you're there and they're like, I'm going to throw this at them. Or they want to do it to certain people. It could be different things, but I think obviously, the more common is just like regular ghosts and spirits that respond to questions or they see somebody and they're constantly, you hear the word, help me or get out.
Don't you think that would be more of a residual haunting if they're always saying, help me or get out?
No.
No?
No.
Okay, why not?
Because a lot of times when I see on TV or hear people like talk about this stuff, they are talking, asking questions, and in the middle of it, they get those. And they don't always get the same thing if they get it, go to the same place at the same time. They'll get something else. So they won't get the exact same thing. So I wouldn't say it's residual. I would say it's more intelligent.
Okay. So here's a question for you guys. Do you think that intelligent hauntings are spirits that are trapped here, or do you think that they've crossed over? Or do you think there's a difference?
I've recently had some interesting thoughts about that. And what if intelligence hauntings aren't necessarily deceased individuals?
Go on.
Sorry, I thought that was you, but that was not you.
No, and I'm not sure if the pod people, aka our listeners, mm-hmm. heard that, but my dog was just going crazy. So yeah, that was that. But yeah, so yeah, go on.
No, I you know, recently had interesting thought of you go to a location and you try to seek contact, you try to establish some sort of intelligence there, but you know, this kind of goes into a weirder topic of time and, you know, potentially dimensions and things of that nature. And if there are multiple concurrent dimensions, or time is not what we think time is, could we be contacting someone just like us who thinks we're a ghost and maybe they think we're, you know, back and forth? You're just crossing dimensions.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that is possible, but, you know, that could also be the same thing with residual hauntings, right? So, I mean, we could just be picking up, you know, someone's day-to-day activity in a different dimension as well, right?
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, do you think that there are even hauntings then? Do you think that there are even ghosts, or are we either having the veil between time lifted in that brief moment? Because, I mean, there are stories where paranormal investigators see an apparition of, you know, a 17th century lady. And when they see said apparition, the apparition looks just as startled to see them as they are to see her. And are we just, you know, crossing that veil? Because, I mean, according to physics, time, all that's happened is happening and will happen is happening at the same time. So it's just, we perceive it in a linear form.
Right. And that's just something I've been going back and forth in my mind, because it's hard to wrap your mind around as far as time goes, I think. So, you know, maybe because I feel like we've done investigations and we say, we're talking to you from the year 2000, whatever. Do you know what year it is, or something like that? And, but I don't know, maybe I have a harder time thinking if I'm dead that I'm gonna come back and be like, okay, who wants to come, you know, sitting in a corner of a house tied to a location waiting for somebody to come talk to me and answer the same questions over and over.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's why I always like to ask weird questions. And
you do.
I do. Well, I mean, you know, if someone chooses to live their afterlife or a portion of their afterlife in said house, it would get really redundant and boring if somebody comes, or different people come and say, hey, are you dead? Do you know you're dead?
Yeah.
How old were you when you died? What's your name? You know, I mean, I try to have a normal conversation as I would visiting anyone, you know, it's either someone I know or don't know. You know, I introduce myself and I kind of, you know, want to know what they're all about, what their personality is, just trying to get a different response. Because if I, you know, one of my favorite things is asking, what's your favorite color? Because I think when we look back and go over the evidence, it's real easy to say, oh, did he say yes or no? When it's like a moan, right? It's really easy to come up. But if you hear something like orange or blue, like that's very distinct and very different than yes or no, or just a, you know?
Right.
So I kind of want to ask questions to where if an answer comes through, it's something very distinct or in multi-syllable to where I could say that is definitely something we picked up. I think that, and mind you, what you guys said can all be possible and it could all be wrong, and I could be wrong with what I think things are. I think that there are two different type of intelligent hauntings. So I think that there is the haunting to where the spirit or a spirit crosses over and then comes back and visits. So it crosses over, it gains its cosmic knowledge, its cosmic identity, and knows, you know, a lot more than we'll ever, our little brains can fathom. So he'll come over and, you know, we can interact with that. Usually it's loved ones, right? And then there'll be the haunting where the spirit of the person doesn't want to cross over. Usually unfinished business, we're assuming, or it just doesn't want to. Maybe it is fearful of any judgment based on their human belief system. And they retain their human personality. So if you're an asshole in life, you're going to be an asshole in death. And I think that's where a lot of the negative hauntings come from. It's just from a human spirit that was just an asshole and doesn't want to cross over. Maybe fear of the judgment. Who knows? But that's also why I think that we don't see a lot of, you know, people wearing Nirvana t-shirts as ghosts, you know, from the 90s. And we see more from the 1800s, 1700s, 1600s, is that the worldwide belief system changed drastically in those 200-300 years, where 1700s, 1800s, if you think about it, it's either you're going to heaven or hell, right? And when you pass, you know the kind of life you lived. Only you truly know if it was good or bad. And if you think it's bad, you don't want to cross that veil and be judged and possibly go to hell. you know, if that's what you believe, where, you know, in the, you know, probably in the, what, the, as early as the 40s on, I think that, that worldwide, that kind of changed to where it was more open and free. It's like, there isn't a heaven or hell, there's just an afterlife. So people were more open, or spirits were more open to cross over when they pass. So I think that's also why, you know, we may not see so many new hauntings nowadays as well. You know, if the spirit is real, and I think it is, I could be wrong, that could be, you know, why new hauntings are even more rare nowadays. Thoughts?
No.
Yeah, you know, it's like pulling teeth sometimes talking to these two.
No, that's not true. But yeah, I agree with, you know, you hear a lot of Ireland, England, you know, other places that, you know, have both a long history and, at least from my understanding, a long religious indoctrination. But you don't hear any, and I haven't heard any stories coming out of Africa or South America. You know what I'm saying? Like, why does it seem so focused in European countries? Is that just the information that we're being fed here in the States? Or is...
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it. All of our roots come from Europe. You know, so, you know, you know, obviously all mankind started in Africa, right? I mean, that's where cradle civilization is, right? So
once we started on Mars.
Oh, we could have started. That is very, I mean, that's a different day, guys. All right, let's not start fucking jumping around that much. No, look, a turtle. So, no, but I mean, yeah, I mean, that's probably why. It's because all of our roots come from Europe, you know? And, you know, we don't have any ties back to Africa and have any ties to Asia. We don't have any ties to the Middle East. I mean, those are all topics I would love to cover in the future because it's fascinating. Mm-hmm. One place I would like to talk about is probably Antarctica, because imagine the stories of the people that live there.
Yeah. Penguins got a lot to say.
Dude, those are... Is it king penguins?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Emperor.
Yeah. Those guys with yellow.
Can you
hair?
Imagine a whole bunch of little penguin ghosts?
Dude, what?
Beard.
Yeah, the beard. What about
the mustache?
What about dinosaur ghosts?
Right?
Yeah.
You know, I think their essence and their consciousness is all just in our cars, in the gas
tank. In the fuel.
Yeah. That's where oil comes from, guys. Come on. Educate yourselves.
Well, it's not really from dinosaurs, to be quite honest.
You know what? Listen, that's what science tells me, and that's what I'm going to believe in. Where?
Google it.
Google. What's that?
Mm, yeah.
Okay. So next thing, yeah, we'll touch on this a little bit, is demonic hauntings, you know? So Lynette, I'm sure people have said, or maybe they did, maybe not, but, you know, when people find out they were ghost hunters, they're like, oh, I grew up in a haunted house, or they're very open to talk to us. And then there'll be some people that say, oh, I think there's a demon in my house. And the first thing I will do is I will look at them and be like, there is not.
Right.
And they'll ask me, well, how do you know? And I'm like, because if there was a real demon in your house, you would never say, I think there's a demon in my house. No, you'll say there's a motherfucking demon in my house. And I haven't lived there in 2 months because of it.
Right. I moved out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I burned the place down.
Right. No.
With a lot of sage.
You just circle it with sage
and salt, and
and you just pee on the ashes afterwards, right? Is that how we put it out?
I guess so.
Yeah, all right.
Sure, give it a shot. Let me know if it works.
No, I will. I mean, listen, I will. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me how to live my life.
Too late.
Liar. I don't know why I said that. But so, I mean, demonic hauntings. I mean, you know, I hate using the word demon because it all depends on your dogmatic belief system, right? I mean, you know, if you're of the Abrahamic religions, you know, yeah, demon is what, you know, but there's so many other negative, evil spirits out there in mythology and folklore. It can be, because again, who the hell knows what's out there? So we'll just, you know, for argument's sake, say demonic hauntings. Mm-hmm. What do you guys define demonic haunting?
I would say it's something that like feels threatening. That whatever entity or spirit, whatever it is that is haunting, it's trying to hurt you in some way, physical, mental way. and you just don't feel safe in that area. You don't feel safe in your own home. And like you mentioned before, it's like, I wouldn't be living here for like 2 months or whatever until either someone comes and exercises it or whatever, however they can burn it down, whatever they do to get rid of it.
Does it have to be a human or is it a human spirit?
I don't know.
No, I'm asking.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. It could be human. It could be non-human.
So in your dogmatic system or hierarchy of ghosts, a demonic haunting can be caused by a human spirit. It doesn't have to be non-human.
I think it could be anything. Because like you said, demonic could be really like anything. Every culture is different. It could be something that's non-human, but it also could be like a really evil spirit, human spirit that came from like a serial killer or whatever, like something that it's just they brought their evilness from when they were alive to when they are not alive anymore. And
okay, I'm just asking because a lot of people think that it is not human, it would be something else, a non-human entity. So that's why I'm asking.
The more common thought would be non-human, but I think if you're going to line of it could not, like, every person will not say demon, or some people will say demon. If you're going by just evil, it could be anything.
Hmm. Okay. I mean, I'll buy it.
Cool.
For
that's $100.
Quarter. No, I only got a quarter.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
Checks in the mail.
You owe me money. Mm. So, Lynette, what would you define demonic?
I don't know. I feel like I'm on a different wavelength today. Sorry.
Today?
It's been a very long Monday week. No.
I'm Friday tired already.
Yeah, right? Friday tired. Yeah. No, I guess I think what makes movies, what makes internet content or whatever is typically all revolving around possession. And and you can't necessarily have and this is not necessarily my belief, but I feel like the way it's always portrayed in movies is that you can't have a demonic haunting without there being some sort of trying to take over a physical person of, you know, possess someone's body. So I find that interesting. But yeah, I don't know if I could quantify it as a thing or non-human or I'm not really sure. Yeah. I don't necessarily think I want to meet one, but again, I'm kind of with you, Bree, on this one. Is it's depending on what you believe culturally and individuals' religions or practices. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like some people think the most evil thing is humans,
right?
So I mean, yeah, I see your guys' point, but I just personally, number one, I would love to come face to face with a demon, like. Horns, tail, and all. Like, that is, you guys know this, and people that hear me have heard me talk about this. I want to meet a demon. I want to go and do a investigation and stumble across a demon, you know? I mean, I don't know why. I'm just fucked in the head, but, you know.
Because in the back of your mind, you think it's no big, like, it's just going to be... Like the guy behind the Wizard of Oz's door looks all scary. But
like the guy that's on my left shoulder that sits there and tells me to do things? Oh, yeah. Like that guy?
Yeah.
No, you know, I think it's because I want to, in my old age, I want to have experiences. And I think one
that's
of the
quite
things
the experience it is for.
Well, it is. I'm an extreme person. I mean, you come on. It's I'm either extremely one way or the other. There's no middle ground with me. Right. You know, you could put that wrist away. But yeah, I mean, I'll flip-flop back and forth with that. And I don't mind. You know, sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
You know, you brought it up. So don't even start.
You said you go one way or the other.
Yeah, right. You don't?
Trying to reemphasize your statement.
Yeah. No, I'm okay with this. I'm very open.
And what would you do when you met said demon? And what would be proof enough that it's a demon for you?
I have no idea. I think that's the beautiful thing behind it. Like, I have no idea. Like, you never know what you're going to do in such situations until you experience a situation, right? So, funny story.
Okay.
Tangent. Missy and I have an open door policy with our friends, right? So, we always say, if you just need a getaway, if you're going through a rough spot, just come over. We don't even have to be home. We'll give you the garage code. Come over, stay, play with the dogs, take a nap. my house is your house. The door is always open regardless of our home. So a really good friend of ours, Jody, she just needed to get away for whatever reason. So she called me and I didn't have my phone by me. So I missed the call. Missy was napping. She missed the call. So she just took an Uber and I was in the washroom and all I hear is my wife freaking out, "Frank, someone's coming in through the garage." And I'm like, "What the hell is she talking about?" So I walk out of the washroom and I hear the garage door going down and I'm like, "No one, I'm like, all right.
I don't have any Amazon deliveries."
No, nor did they know the garage code. So you never know how you're going to react. So I walk over to, like, you know, the garage door that into the house, right? So I'm like, all right, I got to take whoever it is. I need to surprise them because by the time they open the door, they're on the offense. So I just sit there. I'm like, all right, here we go. I'm going to tackle whoever it is. So I go, you know, in my head, I go 1, 2, 3. And I opened the door and I was really about to just lunge at whoever. And Jody's standing right there. She's like, "Hi." I'm like, "Oh." I'm like, "Hey, how you doing?" I'm like, "I almost murdered you." Jeez. You know, but it's, you know, again, like I, you know, everyone always plays the tough guy. "Oh, somebody breaks in and I'm going to do X, Y, and Z." Right. And but you just never know. So fortunately, I now know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tackle my friend. Mm-hmm. So with that, I don't know, but I want to know. I want to know.
What if you don't survive to find out?
Well, then so be it. Then you know, go out in a blaze of glory. You know, Bon Jovi.
Okay.
You know, I mean, yeah. I mean, listen, we all have our little stupid things that we do. We're all idiots. You know, yes, you too. Both of you are
speak
just
for
this,
yourself.
No, I
yeah,
am.
You too. Like,
100% I am. I am the biggest idiot out of the three of us. I say this more than anyone. But I want to have these experiences. I don't want to someday pass away going, "Oh, I wish I would have done that." You know, that's your regret. And so good or bad, who cares? It's an experience. You're going to learn from it. So maybe I'll learn, hey, maybe I shouldn't mess around with demons. I don't know. You know, and I am stupid enough to have to be told that more than once. You know, yeah. I'm not perfect. I know I'm not. I know I'm silly. I'm a silly little bitch, you know? So
silly is a soft word for
okay.
Wanting to face down a demon.
What word did you use?
Stupid.
Okay. Brie, that was Brianna for all the others out there. She said stupid. Lynette.
We're gonna go with a moron.
Okay.
A moron.
So, yeah. Okay. You have to speak in that voice now forever so people can know the difference. You have to go like a moron.
I don't know if I can do that.
Oh, see? You just keep going. You just have to say the same.
No one's going
to
take this seriously. Not that anybody is.
No one will take you seriously. So, all right. So let's correct this train wreck. So the next type of ghost or spirit would be an animal ghost. Do you guys believe that animals have spirits, and are they all animals or only certain animals?
I would assume all animals. To me, a living thing would have, like, something that breeds and eats, poops, pees. I feel like they would have, like, a spirit or some type of energy. I did say poop.
So what's your definition of an animal then? Because I can say, well, I don't think fish would have a spirit, or a cricket, or a June bug.
Well, bugs are a different category from an animal.
Well, that's why some people categorize all living things as animals and include bugs.
Well,
and
humans are technically under the animal kingdom.
Yeah, we're primates.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying we're not. But
unless
also,
you've seen the videos of people arguing, saying that humans aren't animals.
Oh, yeah. Well, those people, you know, they also think the earth is flat.
Yeah.
Oh, all you earth flat or flat earthers, what are they? They're called flat earthers?
Sure.
Or flat tops.
That too. Sure.
Earth tops. Earth flat tops. I don't know. But I would love to hear from you guys. If you guys can email me at frank@fringebeyondlimits.com. I would love to hear from you.
He wants to pick your brain.
I don't want to have an argument.
No.
But I would like to have a candid conversation. And also, if you guys really are true flat earthers and know what you're talking about, I would love to have you guys on the show. You know, that would be a great episode. So, you know, not pulling any punches, just a real candid conversation. I may call you stupid from time to time, but that's just me being me.
That's just Frank.
Yeah, he calls everybody stupid.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, those people are stupid. That, you know, because we are, you know, but the difference is that we do have what I refer to as cosmic knowledge. You know, we have cosmic reasoning, I should say, not knowledge, but cosmic reasoning. So when it starts to rain and rain starts hitting a bird, they look up and they don't know what's going on, where we can sit there, you know, be like, oh, it's that water.
Do they not know what's going on?
How do you know it?
Just because you don't
science
speak bird?
Science has proved it. Okay. I may not speak bird, but I look bird.
Bird brain.
I will give them the bird's eye. And they know. No, they know.
Oh. Yeah, birds do know when it's raining.
No, they know that I am me.
Moron.
You're making stupid. No sense now.
I'm just talking now.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, go ahead. So mammals. Would you say mammals would be the only ones? Because that includes dolphins and whales.
Again, going back to what I said. Anything that can breathe, poop, pee.
But that would include bugs.
Anything that could pee, poop, pee.
That would include
in that order. Yes. But only in that order.
Yes.
But that includes bugs. That's where I'm trying to draw the line.
But I don't consider bugs an animal, though. I consider that separate category from animal.
I understand that, but you said anything that breathes, poops, pees, and bugs do all of those.
Besides bugs.
Jesus. You know,
besides bugs.
All right, I'm skipping you.
Not going to like my answer any better.
Probably not, but you know what? It might be a little bit more intelligent than what I was just dealing with over there.
So, first off, I think anything could have consciousness or spirit.
Okay.
As far as haunting, I don't think a tree is going to come around and haunt somebody. Maybe it will. I don't know, trip you when you're walking or something like that. But I feel that from an animal type of haunt would probably be more akin to something that's had a relationship maybe with a human, usually like a pet, right? Or someone who is a caretaker of. I can't say that, can't explicitly say a fox or something that's wild might not come back and want to live. Oh, did I do that?
No, so, no, you're fine.
You know, might not want to come back and haunt the woods or something like that, but.
So you think that animals that have a relationship with humans are more likely to haunt?
Yes.
Is it because of our perception?
Probably. And I was kind of leaning towards that as there could be a deer out there in the woods that's doing its ghost deer thing, but we're not there to perceive it. We're not there to witness it. So I think we're more likely to see pets because we have a closer bond with them and they have a direct connection with us.
So what if Bigfoot is just a ghost? So what if there was just this intelligent living ape thing thousands of years ago running around and that's what we're interacting with? What if Bigfoot's just a ghost?
But how can a ghost shed its like fur and hair? Because sometimes people find the hair.
Yeah, but that still hasn't been proven.
But what if?
Okay, but again, no one has found hair that has said this is from a lost primate.
You also got like physical footprints too.
Yeah, but like, ghosts can leave imprints on beds and
can you stop
couches.
Making good remarks.
I'm sorry. Is my intelligence bothering you?
You're not intelligent.
All right. So I think we're going to cut this podcast down to two people after tonight. No, but seriously, like a spirit can do all that. Like, I understand where you're going with that, you know, but scientifically, there's been nothing proven yes or no if Bigfoot exists. I mean, it's very possible that there is a Bigfoot out there living, you know, and one of, I know we're going off on another tangent, but I know people always say, oh, you know, there's no body that's been found. But I mean, think about how many bears are out there. How many times do you hunters will come across a bear carcass? They don't, because they get the scavengers eat them up before you can find them. So who says that a Bigfoot would be any different, especially if they have a much smaller population than bears do, you know? Anyway, but what if Bigfoot was a ghost and it haunts?
I don't believe it.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
But I like the what if.
I like what ifs too.
You just said you never want to live a what if.
I
caught you in my circular logic.
No, I never said.
He not say?
No.
You said I want to face a demon because I never want to live a what if. Yeah. Saying I should have put a woulda.
Right, and I'm not saying that I would never face a Bigfoot either. I'm just saying, but I like the what if and the possibilities of it, not on whether or not I'd experience it. God, you guys. I hate you both.
I think he's getting a little upset.
I think this is going to be one of the shortest podcasts ever lived. Two episodes.
Yeah.
And one of them was an accident. Kind of like me. So, all right. So, anyway, as I'm looking through these topics of different hauntings that we have here, you know, you can put that wrist away again. What were you doing over there?
I was visually scrolling through.
Oh, okay. I thought you were doing the whole limp wrist thing again at
See,
me.
See, someone's sensitive.
A little bit. So anyway, shadow people. What do you guys think a shadow person is?
That I'm still trying to decide. I've heard both stories where people say a shadow person could be not a human spirit or whatever at all. Could be something non-human. I don't know whether it's evil or not. Some people say it is. Some people say it's not. To me, it's an actual mystery.
Okay, I agree. I mean, isn't all of this a mystery?
Pretty much.
Okay. So if you had to, you're out of all the different things, possibilities that can be, which one are you leaning towards the most?
I would say it is probably a human spirit that is more on the intelligent side, but doesn't want to be seen. So when they present themselves, they are that black shadow that could be a possibility. And they're just curious. So that's why they kind of, typically with shadow people, it's a black shape of a person or something. And then you see it real quick and it goes away. And that's where the curiosity comes. They just want to see you, but they don't want you to see them. So that's why it's a quick look and then they're gone.
So let me ask you this, because everything that you've mentioned outside of the spirit animals, you have said it's human, it's human, it's human. Do you think that there are spirits that interact with us that are not human?
Yeah.
Like what?
I mean, I do believe that there are some, like we were mentioning earlier with the demonic hauntings, that there's some that could... Like I said before when we were describing it, that there are some that are non-human.
Okay.
So that's an example right there.
Where do you think it's just a purely evil spirit then? Or do you think it's a different dimensional being? Like what do you think the origins would be from a non-human spirit?
It could be something from a different dimension. It could be something... someone made up, like there's been stories of people that think of something or whatever, and the more people think about it, the more it starts becoming reality, more starts becoming real. Could be something from that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's fine. I just wanted you to kind of elaborate and get it and just, you know, elaborate more on your answers.
No.
Okay. Next. I hate her. She may not be invited back.
That's not true. She's the rock of this.
What, the rock that sinks the ship? Yeah, probably. All right, so Lynette.
Yeah.
What do you think a shadow person is?
I don't necessarily think it could be human. I'm trying to think of what I've seen. And where were we? We were at, was it Missouri State?
Yes.
And we were talking to that security guard.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in the back of the group because we couldn't hear anything going on. And what I trying to picture what we saw, but I can't. It was short, right?
Yeah, it was short. It was in death row.
On death row, right?
It was on death row, right? Yeah. So it was short. It was
in my mind. I want to say dog size.
Yeah,
but not shaped.
Right, right. It wasn't. There was no shape to it. Almost like you can kind of see a head with a short neck.
Yeah, we didn't obviously get a photo of it. We were more shocked at what we saw, but
right.
Would you consider that a shadow person, a shadow being?
Yeah, I would. I mean, shadow people are, there's so many different things that people say they can be. I tend to think that it's a non-human entity that is more of a watcher. Because, you know, outside of the one shadow person I saw, but that was in solitary confinement. Mm-hmm. So I think that was more of an evil type being presenting itself as a shadow person. I think true shadow people, because a lot of people will experience shadow people when they wake up in the middle of the night and they'll see them standing in the middle of the room or mm-hmm. in the corner of the room. And what do they usually do? They'll usually go back to sleep. And I'm sorry, but even as brave as I think I am, if I see that in the middle of the night, I am attacking or I am running really, really fast, which is not fast at all for me.
But what if you're just so tired? You just need to go back to bed.
I'm just so comfortable. You know what?
So warm, I know.
Just convince yourself it was a dream.
Yeah. You know, if this thing wants to murder me or just possess, you know, I don't. I'm so comfortable.
Let me roll over to the cool side of the blanket.
Yeah. That's, you know what? I can't move out of the spot. No,
yeah.
No, I doubt that's the case. But like everyone is comforted with the feeling of going back to sleep and not worrying about it.
Well, I feel like everything that I've seen is more of the observer type. You know, you're sitting in your room and you see something out of the corner of your eye. It could have been an eye squiggly. Who knows?
Eye squiggly.
You know what I'm talking about?
The little
eye squigglies. It could be one of those.
No, that would be like a sperm. You would see like a black sperm floating in your room. Like, I don't think that would be.
Is that what your eye squigglies look like? Then you need to watch your aim.
What, you think I'm shooting myself in the eye?
And apparently they're black too.
Well, that's why that's why it wouldn't be my own. Now, would it?
They're rotten. That's what they are. They're rotten.
You know, this is not nice, guys.
No, somebody's sensitive now.
Just so sensitive. So
no, but you can give it, but you can't take it.
Yeah.
Oh, I just asked my boyfriend. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead. What were you saying?
I don't even remember anymore.
You were saying it was more of a watcher, yeah. Observer. Yeah. Yeah.
Even if it's, I think more of the environment gives the feeling of maybe this is good, bad, whatever, but. I think that's just people getting in their heads and thinking, okay, I'm in a prison. That must be an angry, evil something or other. But maybe it's just a curious something or other.
What is that?
My wire is touching the bottom of the mic.
Oh, my God. That was driving me crazy.
It's a ghost.
It was a tap, tap, it's tap, tap, tap ghost.
My eyes quickly.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Or a black sperm.
Hey, you know what?
Tenacious
be.
Little fella.
I'm all game. This is just beautiful. Okay, so next we'll briefly touch on this, and this is going to be hitchhiker ghosts. And the first thing that comes to mind as a hitchhiker ghost, which actually, now that I think about it, is not a hitchhiker ghost.
No,
it's not.
Yeah,
we were talking vice versa.
About, yeah, we were talking about this before we started recording, but we were talking about Large Marge and Pee-wee, and actually she was the truck driver.
And Pee-wee was hitchhiker.
And Pee-wee was hitchhiking, so that would not be. But, you know, Large Marge, I'm going to put that in parentheses.
Yeah.
All right. What do you, hitchhiker ghosts, do you think those are real? Do you think?
I think they're just like regular residual intelligent ghosts that had a traumatic event that happened on that highway or that street, whatever it is, and they just seem like they're forever hitchhiking.
Can you name a famous hitchhiking ghost?
No, not from top of my head.
Why not?
I'm thinking of an old country song.
Okay, that wouldn't be it.
But I'm also thinking of Supernatural with the hitchhiker ghost, yeah, on that.
No, but famous hitchhiker ghost is Resurrection Mary.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so, but you don't really hear about them too much. Usually, yeah, what are you doing over
there? I'm speaking Italian and my hands just won't stay still. I'm hitting everything
around
me. Just put me in a straitjacket. No, when I read hitchhiker, I didn't realize you literally meant thumbing down the road, hitchhiker.
What did you think?
I thought you meant like going to a location and having a spiritual or like attachment follow you home.
Yeah, no, that would be an attachment.
Yeah, that's an attachment, not a hitchhiker.
Well,
I mean, why would I say hitchhiker for attachment?
I mean, isn't it the same concept? It follows you somewhere else. You pick it up somewhere and you bring it somewhere else.
No.
No.
Well, you didn't put a description here, so.
But I knew what he was talking about.
My mind wander, and I don't want to know what his mind is thinking.
I didn't ask you to think about what my mind was thinking.
But you asked me about my thoughts of hitchhiker ghosts, and I thought you were talking about attachments. Carry on.
Anyways.
This is fastly going to just a one-person podcast. Both of you guys.
You can't
banter
with yourself. Well, you could, but
I mean, yeah, 100% I could.
He talks to himself every day, so.
I mean, I talk to myself, I answer myself, and then there's like 3-4 other people weighing in as well.
What was that movie, like Ski Patrol, where this guy had like 2 masks on each side of his head and he would...
No, that's Batman. That's Two-Face.
No, it was a spoof something. Anyway.
All right. So I'm so sorry about this, guys. Vengeful spirit. You guys think vengeful spirits are real? Do you think those exist? Or do you think those are just stories to scare people?
I would like to say they're stories, but they all have to start somewhere.
Every single story starts somewhere.
Yeah.
Can you explain that a little bit
when
more?
When you like listen to like a folklore or you listen to a myth or you listen to like something... They're all based on something. And I feel like whether the first person that's told that story experienced something, and then they told that person told the next one, and then it just gets to the point where it's just like, don't do this because this person's going to come and get you, or whatever the case is. It's like a game of telephone. And then people end up changing it into something that more helps make sure that nothing is going bad.
So. But going back to what you said before with demonic hauntings, wouldn't, if it was a human element besides a demonic haunting, couldn't you consider that as a vengeful spirit as well?
How would that be vengeful?
Well, because they're being evil or mean or whatever because of avenging their death, let's say. So let's say, you know, someone got murdered. They want to get revenge on the people that murdered them, and they're being evil, and possibly that could be categorized as demonic and evil.
I honestly wouldn't categorize it as evil. I was categorized as someone wanting to get revenge and being vengeful, and
right.
But maybe the person getting attacked wouldn't know the difference,
right? You know, so like if Lynette and I go and investigate, you know, whatever place, and the spirit attacks us, we're like, holy shit, that could be demonic because it totally attacked us.
Mm-hmm.
And it could just be a spirit being vengeful.
Well, yeah, you won't know until you do further investigation.
Right. So what I'm saying is, couldn't a vengeful spirit, if demonic haunting, like you said, has a human element behind it, couldn't that be also a vengeful spirit?
Going back to when I said investigation, when you do more investigation, you find it out. Yeah, then that's when you can divide the two between evil and vengeful. Once you figure out exactly and what happened,
so,
if you can.
So you do think then a vengeful ghost is possible?
At the beginning.
At the beginning of what?
Investigation. Until you figure out exactly if the vengeful is the actual evil or if it's not.
I see where you're going with that. That makes sense.
Yeah. Could you fill me in then?
Because after you do like investigation, what if you get them to do intelligent responses and you find out it's because that they're doing that because of something that happened to them and they're wanting for like revenge or want to be vengeful, whatever the case is, rather than if something evil happened to you and you do investigation, they do intelligent responses and it's all like, if we're going to go the demonic route, it's all Latin and saying hell and stuff like that, then you know it's not a human vengeful spirit. You know it's evil.
I think you broke his brain.
A little bit.
Lynette knows what I'm talking about.
I know.
Like my nose got running.
I just don't know if you'll ever be able to fully, I mean, you can do that research. You can find out the history of a location, but may or may not get those answers. And you might have, right. You might be classifying something as demonic unnecessarily as well.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you watch some of those Ghost Hunters show and they think everybody's and everything's a demon.
I know. That drives me so crazy.
It's annoying.
So when that was Zach,
mm-hmm.
he's always wearing a smedium. It drives me crazy. But
you're jealous.
No, not even a little bit. Like I would wear like a teepee and that's like my size. But Missy and I used to watch that show when it first came out and we made up a drinking game to it.
Uh-oh.
So every time, you remember back in the day when they would freak out like all the goddamn mm-hmm. time.
And cuss every 2 seconds.
Every time they freaked out, we would drink.
Oh boy.
There was a couple episodes where we'd be 4 or 5 drinks behind. We had to pause it to be able to catch up. And like, it'd be like the first commercial break and we're like, we're a beer in.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is going on? You know, like we're at like the halfway mark. It's like we've each just drank 3.5 beers and we're going to be wasted.
Yeah.
So yeah, those guys, you know, this is what I hate. Those guys, I feel so, and this is not true with a lot of those shows. But when it comes to Ghost Adventures, and I don't care who hears this and what your feelings are, but this is our opinion or my opinion, they have zero personality. Like, I feel as though, you know, what do you mean? You know, like...
You sounded like Eagle Man.
Well, maybe I am. But you know what I mean? He's like, what do you feel right now? You know, like, it's just, there's like no personality behind an investigation. There's no, I feel as though they're faking it. It's so
being overdramatic about everything.
Yeah, it's so forced, you know, and it's just like, dude, you take yourself way too seriously. You think, you know, again, going back to what we started off with, if you think you know exactly what's going on, you're full of shit.
Right.
You don't know. You don't know. You're playing a part. And it drives me crazy because it's so ingenuine. But people, for some reason, get so enamored. And maybe it's just because he's famous. No, he's not famous. You know what I mean? You're talking about like the paranormal world. I mean, being famous in the paranormal world is like being the tallest little person. And you know what I mean? Like, who cares? It's the paranormal. No one knows anything.
Right.
You know? Like, we don't know. You know, maybe there's some people with extrasensory perceptions and that may know a little bit more than us. And, you know, they have a peek behind the veil. But when you don't, you're just guessing, you know. Not even, I can't even categorize him, his opinions as intellectual opinions. Like, he's just an idiot.
I know, but it also gives paranormal investigation a little bit of a bad rap. If everything's a demon, like,
oh, yeah,
you're going to get possessed and
mm-hmm.
scratched up everywhere you go and, you know.
Yeah.
And the reality is half the time you're sitting around just doing what we're doing here.
Pretty much. You're talking to yourself in the dark.
Yeah, waiting for
yes.
something to happen.
Yeah, you know, and like, you ever watch the episodes where he's just like, oh, I didn't know what I blocked out, and like he does something so weird. I'm like, no, you did not. Right. I go, you know, I'm like, oh.
When he goes through those rages,
yeah,
being angry,
yeah,
out of nowhere,
punching walls, and
yeah, I'm like, are you serious right now? Because
yeah.
Like, well, Nat, you and I have experienced being angry out of nowhere for
right.
no reason, and never once have we even attempted to lash out or even had the urge to.
Right.
It's, oh god. Do you remember the Monroe House?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
So I was trying to set up, what was it, camera, I think, trying to set up camera in the theater room.
Yes.
And I was getting so mad that Lisa essentially couldn't read my mind, like irrationally
mm-hmm.
mad. And I'm just trying to set up this. She's talking to me. I'm not even listening to her. I'm just feel this crazy anger come over me. And I think you walked up, Frank, and you're like, how's it going? And I'm like, it's fine.
Yeah. So I was in that kitchen area, and I'm just observing, and Lisa's just doing her thing. You know, she's, you know, trying to help. And I just, you literally, your demeanor, your essence completely, I just felt a shift. I'm like, that's not fucking, that's strange. So I just wanted to see what was going to happen. And I could just see you getting angry. Like your face even changed from like happy-go-lucky Lynette, you know, to just angry. I'm like, huh. That's when I came up to you and you're like, and I'm like,
so, hey, let's go outside.
Yeah. So I'm like, hey guys, I think it's a good time for us to go get some fresh air.
Yeah.
And you were like, no. And I'm like, no, like, let's just go step outside. We'll be fine. You know, we'll come back. Let's regroup. And then, when we went outside, you had a totally shift. You shifted.
Yeah, I was like, Lisa, I'm so sorry. It was weird. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't me,
mm-mm.
but I was just angry and expressing it, though. So, but I wouldn't say that I was a demon possessing me or anything like that. I was picking up on some energy mm-hmm. in that house.
Yeah, that was actually really funny. Like
I mean, hindsight, Lisa wasn't a fan of me barking at her.
No, I'm just sitting there watching, like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I think it's time to go take a break.
Yeah, and as soon as I stepped outside, it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
calmed down pretty quick.
Yeah, and even when we went back, you were still fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. So that was awesome. So the last ghost I want to go over, because I mean, it's us, right? We can't go and not is it, and these are sexual ghosts. So there have been stories, many stories of ghosts having sexual encounters with.
Are these like incubus succubus type of thing, or something different?
So it can be. Oh. It can be. Some of the people that have experienced say no. Others say yes. So, I mean, I think it's all the above. And we're just going to touch on this, because I think this in itself, going the route of incubus and succubus, can be its own episode. So I just want to briefly touch on it, just because there's been several celebrities that have said they've had encounters with not an incubus or a succubus, but with an actual ghost that they had some sort of sexual interaction with. Kesha is one, Anna Nicole Smith, Bobby Brown, Lucy Liu, Natasha Blasic, I don't know who that is, Coco Austin, who is Ice-T's wife, and last but not least, Dan Aykroyd. The funny thing about Dan Aykroyd, if you guys remember the movie The Ghostbusters, in that movie, he has a dream that a ghost has a sexual encounter with him.
So he was just reliving it for the film.
Exactly. And I think that's where he got that scene from, if I remember correctly, is that he had this experience and then put it in the movie. And I think he was one of the writers. Him and, like, I can't remember. Who's Egon? Who's Egon?
I'm bad with names, okay, so don't even ask.
Wolf guy, yeah, listen, email us at frank@fringebeyondlimits.com. If you've had a sexual encounter with a ghost, please, you know, send us an email, either Frank, Brianna, or Lynette at fringebeyondlimits.com. If you would like to have a sexual encounter with a ghost, also tell us about that. We would love to hear it. And if you've had any encounters with any ghosts, any spirits, any sort of entity or hauntings, and would like to share that, I'm sure in future episodes we'll have listener encounters and experiences. So please write us, and we will write you back and be that. So I did post on Facebook and Instagram a post giving a hint on tonight's topic. And if you guessed correctly, you'd get a shout out on our podcast. So here are the people that guessed correctly. I work with this lady, D. Caruso. I played softball with this fellow, Paul, and I can never remember how to say his last name, but it's Seidelnik, I believe. There is Nadia Schweitzel, if I believe I'm saying that correctly. James Gulasarian, another person I work with, Larry LaGioia, dear friend of mine, Michelle Ewing, And probably by far, of all the people that I know that follow us, she is the most beautiful person inside and out that I know. And that would be Rebecca Bailey. To the second most beautiful person I know, Camelon Bailey. And then there is a special shout out to the funniest response to Anthony Ambern, who is part of the Monster Mashers podcast. If you guys haven't heard of them or not listening to them, please go check them out. They're funny and a great podcast. And his response was, putting an entire pack of hot dogs in your pee hole. Now, I haven't done that this week, so...
You have fun with that.
Oh, I have in weeks prior, but we'll definitely do an episode on that in the future. And if
like a how to guide,
yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah, I'll get a PDF going.
Okay,
put that up on our socials. Yeah, yeah, and but if you've put a hot dog up your pee hole, please email me at frankbeyondfringebeyondlimits.com. And also, you can check us on our socials. We're at Instagram. Just search Fringe Beyond Limits, Facebook, Fringe Beyond Limits. We do have a website coming soon. It is there. We also will have a YouTube channel coming soon. So please check us out. Anything you guys would like to say in closing? Not everyone at once. Don't jump up and just say it, please.
I was trying to make awkward eye contact. No.
With the listeners?
Yes.
Oh my God. This is going nowhere. Yeah, so in closing, do you guys want to say anything?
Yeah, thank you for listening, and sorry if Frank's offensive.
That was Lynette.
I'd like to thank everybody as well, and hopefully you continue to listen and don't be scared off by Frank.
That was Brianna, and I'm pretty sure after tonight's episode, you both have scared everyone away.
That's a lie.
No.
Probably.
People love us.
All right. Well, guys, thanks for listening, and you guys all have a wonderful evening.